I don't want to steal any thunder from what the cottagers are going to hear the rest of this week. But as I thought about this service that we would be having together all of this week in Watch Rock, we've been looking at the book of Revelation. We've been looking at some of the images, some of the characters, some of the individuals, some of the metaphors and all the symbols and all that some of the things that they represent. I know there are a lot of different interpretations about Revelation, but we've been looking at this book in the light of the fact that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You never go wrong reading the book of Revelation looking for Jesus. What does this book tell me about Jesus? Not just what does it tell me about the dragon? What does it tell me about the locust? What does it tell me about the beast? What does it tell me about the lampstands? That's okay. That's marvelous to know. We should be interested in those things. But what does this tell me about Jesus? And do you know what the book of Revelation tells me about Jesus? And this is what we've been looking at all this week. It tells me that Jesus is the victor. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And no matter how the enemy may fight against him, no matter how this world may say, we do not want this man to reign over us, it doesn't matter. Because in the end, Jesus is victor. And as we read that book, we realize that not only does Jesus win, but he says, guess what? You get to win with me. You get to me to be a victor as well. Because I win, you win. Because I live, you live. And that is just so exciting to me because I like to win. I like to win. Now, a lot of you know, I played football for a couple of years. I like to win. I coached football for even more years. I like to win. And we won a lot. I got some nice big, this isn't one of them, but I got some nice big fat rings to show that we won. You know, it's exciting to win. And boy, when you lose, oh, the week is ruined. And boy, I tell you, you just don't want to taste that again. But as Christians, we win. We win. When it's all said and done, we win. Why? Because Jesus wins. Jesus won. And that victory is being worked out through history, through the lives of his people in this world. We may not always see it, but he's the winner. He is the conqueror. We read one of the most exciting words in the entire Bible is in the Gospel of John. I want you, if you have your Bibles handy. You don't have to open to this because I know you all know this, but we're going to have a little contest in just a second. So if you have your Bible, get ready, okay? In the Gospel of John, Jesus was hanging on the cross. You guys are going to learn about this. I know a lot of you already know about this. But it says, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. You see, Jesus being put on the cross wasn't a fluke. This was the plan. All things were being accomplished that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, and if you have in your Bible, if you look at the punctuation, this tells you that in the Greek, in the original language in which Jesus was speaking, in which these words were written, it's he shouted. He shouted. In your Bible, there's probably an exclamation point there. And it says, it is finished. Jesus screamed that from the cross. And after he shouted that and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. The Greek word there is tetelestai. It is finished. And that tense of that word means now and forever. It's done. It's settled. Nobody can challenge this anymore. This is it. The victory has been won. A couple of months ago, the Philadelphia Eagles, who I have a slight little bit of interest in because of my history, they won the Super Bowl. Wow, everybody was excited. The confetti was flying and, you know, and maybe some people weren't so happy. But they were celebrating. But guess what? That's not a final victory because they've all gone back to training camp again. And we'll find out who wins this year. Maybe them, maybe someone else, but not Jesus' victory. Jesus' victory is forever. It is eternal. And that word that Jesus said, tetelestai, is a very interesting word. It was a very common word in those days. It had many different shades of meaning. And I'd like us, as we consider that Jesus is victor, our friend, the one who gave himself for us, our Savior, he's the victor. He is the victor. And every sense of that word, as it was used by those people when Jesus lived, it all points to what Jesus did for us. So, if you have your Bible and you want to play, you can play too. If you have your Bibles handy, I'm going to give you a verse. And when I give you the verse, I want you to find it. I want you to close your Bibles. Now, some of you old timers may remember the old sword drills. And I remember those. Now, to do a real sword drill, you got to have your Bible closed. And in our church, you got to have both hands on the sides of the Bible. No thumbs. No thumbs. Get those thumbs out of there. Okay? Right like this. Hands flat. First one to find it, I want you to stand up. And you're going to read it for us, if that's okay. If you can find it, I'm sure you can read it. And read it loud. All right? Here we go. Let's look at what it is finished. What does it mean? I want the Gospel of John, not the epistles. The Gospel of John. Chapter 6. Don't anybody move. Chapter 6. Don't anybody move. Brother Dan, I'm watching you. Verse John 6:38. Go. John 6, verse 38. Oh, we got a winner right here. There we go. What's that? Is that Daniel? Okay, don't worry. You're going to have more chances. Daniel's going to read it for us. Okay, Daniel, can you read this nice and loud? You see if you can hear him. Daniel, go ahead. Belt it out. Beautiful. Jesus said, I've come down not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Do you know who would say this word, it is finished? A servant. A servant who was given a task by their master. And that servant, if they were a good and faithful servant, would not come back until that job was done, was completed. We know this. It's in the ancient writings. And when that servant was done, he would come back to his master or her mistress, whoever it may be. And do you know what they would say? Take a wild guess. It is finished. The task that you have given me is complete. Who gave Jesus this task? The Father. The Father. And as God's Son, yet as we read in the Old Testament in Isaiah, the servant of the Lord, as he expired upon the cross, he looked up to his Father and said, Father, I have finished the task you have given me to do. It is finished. It has been accomplished. And then, and only then, did he yield up his spirit to God. Not until he had finished what the Father had given him to do. But there's another one. You ready? Now we're getting a little tougher. 1 Peter. All right, you heard of him? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Go. Brother George, you help me judge this. I'll get in trouble. Or are you playing? 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Oh, we got a counselor, Brother David, the rest of you guys. Let's hear what it says now. You ready? 1:18, and you can include 19 too. I made it easy for you.
For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from an empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect.
Excellent. Thank you so much. What does that have to do with it is finished? Throughout Israel's history, especially as we begin to come into the time of Christ, you know, more and more people began to speak Greek, Aramaic, even than they did Hebrew, although it was certainly kept alive. But when hundreds of worshipers would come to the temple, they would bring a lamb. They would bring a lamb for sacrifice. They brought other things as well, but the lamb That was the big one. That was the one that you brought to offer for sin. And that lamb, as Brother Dave read to us, was supposed to be without spot. It was supposed to be without blemish. It was supposed to be perfect. And when they brought that lamb to the temple, the priest would examine that lamb before it was able to be offered. And he would look it over. And he would check it out. And he would look for defects. And if that lamb passed inspection, do you know what the priest would say, interestingly? Tetelestai. It is finished. This lamb is acceptable. You have met the requirements. All of the requirements have been met. This lamb may now bear your sins and be sacrificed. Do you realize when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he pointed and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Did you realize, you guys, you got up to Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, everybody waved their palms. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Those of you who have been with us in Watch Rocks, the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna means save us. Save us now. Do you know what was happening in Jerusalem on the day of Palm Sunday? Do you know what was actually happening that day? If you know your Jewish calendar, if you go back, that's why the Old Testament is so cool to read, because it helps you understand a lot of this. Do you know what was happening that day? They were getting ready to celebrate the Passover. And on that day, that Sunday, before the celebration of the Passover, where Jesus instituted the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion that we love to celebrate so much, on that Sunday, Jewish families throughout Israel were doing something. You know what they were doing? I know many of you know this, but if you don't, you're going to love this. They were choosing their lamb for sacrifice. They were choosing the lamb, and it would live with them for days until it was finally sacrificed and eaten on the Passover. That Palm Sunday, people were selecting their lamb. And here comes Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Do you know what was happening? Do you know what was happening as they were all saying, "Save us now, save us now"? Ethan, what do you think?
They were choosing the lamb. The people were using the money, I think, to buy the lamb.
That's how they did it. Absolutely. Very good.
And they were taking their money and saying this like cost 20.
Okay. They had to buy their lambs. Exactly. You're right. You're right. But you know what was happening in the heavens as Jesus rode into Jerusalem? It was as if God the Father himself was saying, "This is my lamb. You're choosing your lamb. This is my lamb. The precious Lamb of God, without spot, without wrinkle, who's going to shed that precious blood, who fulfills all of my righteous requirements. He is my lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." Isn't that what Jesus did? When Jesus declared, "It is finished," he himself was declaring, "I am the perfect lamb. I have made the perfect sacrifice. There need be no more sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. Once and for all, the price has been paid. The perfect lamb has been sacrificed." That's what Jesus was saying. Are you ready for another one? I got just a couple more. We're going to move quick. You getting tired? Your fingers getting tired? Shake them out a little bit. Shake them out if you need to. That's okay. Here we go. The book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. I don't know. These guys are whipping you over here. I don't know. Anybody playing over here? They're whipping you. Come on. Come on, Sister Brittany. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. Go. Colossians 2, 17. Oh, we got a winner. We got a winner here. Here we go. Listen to what it says. I got a couple more. Colossians 2, verse 17. Listen.
These are shadows of things that were to come. The reality, however, is not yet.
But the what was found in Christ?
Reality.
The reality. That was a little different translation. That's perfect. Did you see what that verse says? It says these things are a shadow. These things were a shadow of things to come. But the reality, the real thing, was in Christ. What does that have to do with it? It's finished. Ah, glad you asked. When an artist begins to work on something, begins to create something, it's blank. It's plain. There's nothing there. But that artist has something in mind. They may not even be quite sure exactly what it is. But as they begin to paint, as they begin to carve, or perhaps, even today, create that app, that game, whatever it may be, it starts to take form. The reality of the imagination of the creator begins to emerge, and finally they get to the point where they can set down the brush, they can set down the chisel, they can hit enter. And in those days, when an artist had completed, their vision had become a reality, guess what they would say?
It is finished.
Tetelestai. Do you realize that Jesus dying on the cross for us didn't just happen? This was in the mind of the Father from the beginning of the world, from before the foundation of the world. He saw this. He saw this when God said to the serpent, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush it. God saw that. God saw what was going to be done. And when Jesus died, he looked at the Father and he said, Father, this plan from before the foundation of the world, it's complete. The work is complete. The vision has become a reality. Humanity now is reconciled to God. That piece of art, if you will, that artwork has been completed. It is done. It is finished. But there's another one. Romans 8 verse 1. Go. Ah, you gotta stay on your toes. Romans 8 verse 1. You're gonna lay out, you're gonna take a break on this one? Brother Chad from Spotswood and Sam, we were a close second. Good job, Sam. Romans 8, chapter 1. Now, he's way over in the corner, so listen carefully. We're going to listen for the echo, Brother Chad. Go ahead.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does this have to do? And again, you realize this is very brief on every one of these could be its own Bible study. There is no condemnation. The boys sing a chorus. I don't know if you've sung it this year. Brother George couldn't quite remember, and I wasn't sure either, but it's, he paid a debt. You know that one? You know that one? Do you know that one? Here, in your book, real quick, page 16, turn to it. Can we sing that real quick? Do you guys know? How many of you know he paid a debt he did not owe? You know it? Come on. Let's sing it together. Brother Larry, I know we're getting you quick here, but he assured me that he was up to the task. Beautiful. Here we go. He's everything you said he was. Good job. Let's go. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Terrific. You know, in ancient Egypt, they were digging. They do a lot of that in Egypt, in the Middle East. Archaeologists digging, looking for stuff, looking for junk that hopefully tells us something about the people who used it. Well, you know what they found in Egypt? Not that long ago, they found what would basically be called an accountant's office, a place where people borrowed money, paid money back. They watched transactions. They found a stack of bills. As they read them, they were able to read them. They realized it was a stack of bills, money that people owed for a variety of reasons. And every single one of those bills, now this is in Egypt, which is really interesting. Across every single one of those bills, something was etched. Anybody starting to see a pattern emerge here? Tetelestai. It is finished. Paid in full. Paid in full. I owed a debt. You owed a debt we could not pay. He paid the debt that he didn't owe. But he paid it for us. He paid it for us. And when Jesus hung from the cross, he looked out and he looked to his Father. He said, Father, paid in full. Paid in full. I have paid the price. And I tell you what he paid for us. Tonight, any of you who are still walking around in these grounds, or if you're somewhere in the vicinity, if you would like to join us, we are going to talk about the image from Revelation that tells us the price that Jesus paid. It's way worse than you think. Way worse. That's all I'm going to say. Paid in full. He paid it once for all. No more payment need made for sin. He paid the entire thing. Two more real quick and we're going to wrap this up. Colossians 2 verse 14. Go. Oh, we got a winner. Brother Walter, thank you. One of my other judges here. All right. Right behind. Here we go. Listen to this carefully. Colossians 2, verse 14. Go.
Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross.
Good. Do you hear what he said there? Taking away, and it's a little different translation, but it's perfect. I love it. Taking away the charge of our legal indebtedness. This word, tetelestai, when someone was convicted of a crime, was sentenced to jail, sentenced to prison, when they had served their term, often when they were in prison, they would literally write why you were in there. Do you remember Pilate did that when Jesus was nailed to the cross? Do you remember what he did? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, and he nailed it to this cross. That was the crime, go figure, that was the crime of which Jesus was accused, proclaiming himself to be a king. Well, they would do that, and they would put it right on the jail cell, right on the prison cell, the dungeon cell, and put it right there so anybody walking by would know, that guy's guilty, this is what he did. But after you had served your term, they would take that paper off of the cell door, swing the door cell open, allowing you to go free, and across your conviction, your crime, the notice of your penalty, they would write, tetelestai. It's finished. You've paid the price. You've paid the penalty. The penalty has been served. Do you realize Jesus literally paid the penalty for our sins? You realize sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. We don't disobey God and just get away with it. Do you realize how many people are running around this world today disobeying God, ignoring God, doing their own thing, living in sin, not realizing that they are piling up consequences? Some people face those consequences right away. I have known young people. I was a teacher also, like Sister Karen. I was a teacher for 30 years. I knew some kids who paid the consequences for their sins immediately. Some of them I attended their funerals. Some of them I went and visited in the hospital. or after they were released from jail. Sin has consequences. Jesus suffered the consequences for our sins, and he paid for them. He even suffered the penalty. He didn't just pay and get out of jail free. He paid the penalty. He suffered the consequences that come with every sin ever committed. And he told the Father, the consequence has been paid. I've served the sentence. Now you can let them all go free. They can all go free if they accept what I have done for them. And there's one more. I wonder, I think somebody might get this one really quickly, because it is Colossians chapter 2. Sound familiar? Verse? We have some cheaters, but that's okay. Jesus paid the penalty. We have a young man right here. Here he is. Hell, I know this guy. Colossians 2, verse 15. Nice and loud.
When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through the...
Having triumphed over them. When Jesus, through his cross, defeated, you realize in Rome, when they used to defeat an enemy, they would have a victory parade. They would have a victory parade down the streets, down the Via Roma, or whichever one they chose to use, and the people would scream and they would shout. And you know what they would do? They would march the king or the general of the army that had been defeated. They would march him down that road, and he would be led by the Roman general who had defeated him, whether it was Julius Caesar or Titus or Vespasian or whoever it may have been. They would march him down the street, and everyone would see who was defeated. And you know what they would then do when that parade ended? They would kill him. They would kill him. They would execute him, because his defeat then was final. But before that was done, they wanted everyone in Rome to know, this was the foe. He has been defeated. And do you know what that general would declare over that final victory? Hi, Sister Eve, she's got it. She's with the program. Do you know what they would declare? That general would stand, and with a commanding, loud voice, he would declare that this war, this battle is finished. It is finished. Do you realize our enemy, the devil, who fights so hard? Do you know why? Revelation tells us. You know why the devil fights so hard? Do you know why he makes it so hard sometimes to follow Jesus, to obey him? Do you know why he turns it into such a fight? Because he knows he's done. He knows he's finished. He knows he's just got a little bit of time left. And he wants to take anybody that he can get, because he has been vanquished. Jesus, Satan, I think, this is my own vision, my imagination. I could see all those devils around the cross. Jesus was just covered, saturated, filled with every sin that you and I have ever done or ever will do. He was filled with, just think of some of the horrible things that have been done throughout history. And they all came upon him. He bore our sins. The Bible says he literally became sin for us. Every bad thing you ever did, Jesus, it just came into him. And he went to the cross. And there were all the hosts of hell surrounding him. Ah, we got you. We got you. We got you. You lose. You lose. You lose. We win. And in the moments before Jesus expired on the cross, gave up his ghost. He didn't just die. He gave up his spirit to the Father. He looked every single one of them right in the face. And he said, think of it, nailed to a cross, so little energy left in his body that he was about to die. He looked every single one of them in the face and he said, "You lose. It is finished. Victory. Victory." And that victory he offers to each and every one of us. Victory over sin. Victory over the flesh, the world, the devil. He won. It is finished. And because of that, in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul tells his dear son in the faith, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, my course. I have finished my course." Do you know Paul uses the same word? He uses in the Greek the same word that Jesus used. It's got a different ending because it's a different tense. Jesus said it's finished once and for all. Paul was talking about himself because he knew there were a lot of other people that needed to finish their race. You see, Paul couldn't run my race. Brother George can't run your race. Your counselor can't run your race. Your mom and dad, they can't run your race for you. You got to run your own race. But because Jesus won, you and I can cross that finish line one day. And we can say, like the Apostle Paul, "I have finished my race. I have finished my course." Meaning, I didn't just survive. I have some friends who ran marathons. Now, most of them, they weren't really trying to win. They were just trying to make it. They just wanted to cross the finish line. But you know what? Jesus doesn't want us to just cross the finish line. He wants us to win. He wants us to run by faith. And that's why the book of Hebrews tells us there's a whole crowd that's watching us, that's cheering us, those who have finished their race. And it says, because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, now let us run. We're the ones who are running. They're cheering us on. It says, let us run this race, looking unto Jesus. Why would we look at Jesus? Why would we look at him? Because he's the winner. He's the victor. He finished the race for us, as it were. He says, "I have provided all of this for you. Look to me and run." My favorite character, not in the Bible, but one of my heroes, is a man by the name of Eric Liddell. Maybe you heard of him. He made a movie about him even. Won the Academy Award. What do you think of that, huh? I was so excited when that happened because he's one of my heroes. I couldn't believe it. But you know, he was a runner. And he had a very interesting style of running. Probably wouldn't do it today, but he did it back then. Do you know how they knew when Eric Liddell was running as fast as he could possibly humanly run? We got it. What was it? He would lift his head up to the sky. I actually have pictures of him running. He really did run like that. His mouth was wide open. His head is not like this. His hair, he had hair, was streaming behind him. And you know, whenever he was in a race, no matter if he was winning, but especially if he was losing, they'd be like, "He's losing! He's losing! He's losing!" And one time, famously, one of his dear friends, "He's losing!" He looked, and I can't do a Scottish brogue. Maybe some of you guys could do this. He's from Scotland. He would say, "Oh, but his head's not back yet. His head's not back yet." What was he saying? Oh, wait. He's gonna pick up the pace any second. And what happened? The head went up. My mouth went open. I wonder if you ever swallowed a fly. You ever swallowed a fly? Yeah. Yuck. At least you got your protein for the day, right? And he would run. Think about that the next time. Let us run this race with patience, looking like Eric Liddell, looking unto Jesus. They say he ran by faith because he couldn't have possibly seen where he was going because he was looking up at the sky. He ran by faith. But you know, when we run by faith, the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for us, if we will run that race with faith, you boys, all of us, some have been running longer than others. Run with faith, looking unto Jesus, the one who proclaims it is finished. The victory is won. The victory is yours. And we too will receive a crown of righteousness, which the Lord has laid up for all those who love him and follow him. Let's run this race. Let's run it with patience. Let's run it with diligence. Let's run it with everything that we have, knowing, now, I'm no riverboat gambler, but I know what it means to have an ace up your sleeve. Anybody knows that terminology? I know that may not be Pilgrim Camp kind of terminology, but a lot of you know, when you have an ace up your sleeve, you know what that means? You got something that somebody else doesn't know about. It's going to help you win. Yeah, it could be cheating. Well, guess what? As Christians, we get to cheat. You ever think of it that way? Now, don't cheat in real life. But when it comes to play, you know, devil doesn't play fair. We don't have to play fair either. We got an ace up our sleeve. You know what it is? Tetelestai. It is finished. The victory has already been won. And when the devil looks at you and say, ha, 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 you can look back at him and say, oh yeah? Well, ha, 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 to you. Jesus said, it is finished. And it's in his power. And it's in his spirit, in his victory that I run. Run. Trust. Win. That's what God has for each one of us. Let's run so that we might obtain that prize. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing a song in closing. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for coming, dying on the cross for us. And thank you for rising from the dead, too. Thank you for ascending to heaven as well. Because we know that your victory is our victory. And because you are our friend, we win too. The victory is ours. Thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that each one of us, dear Lord, myself included, will walk this day in the victory which you supply. I pray that you will help each one of us, Lord, throughout our lives to, when the devil comes against us, when the enemy fights us, to say, I serve a greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Satan has been defeated, and the victory is mine. And help us, Lord Jesus, to be among those groups, that group of overcomers who stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion. We believe you, Lord, that everyone seated here is going to be counted in that group. We are going to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. We thank you for it this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. In closing, just one or two announcements, and then we're going to let you go, okay? We are going to sing in our hymnal, page 240. This is especially for our guests. Just a couple of announcements. I have been told that if you are not staying at camp but would like to have dinner with us, and our brother Gus is a pretty good cook, I recommend it highly. Please see our sister Aletha. She's right over here. All right, see her just for some arrangements. And as she has told me, we do have some room, so we would love for you to join with us. Okay, just making sure on that. We have a little bit of time. Dinner is going to be at 12:30. We don't have a lot of time, but we do have some. Oh, 45. Sorry, I'm so used to 12:30. Thank you, Brother Paul. 12:45. That's why they wrote it here in bold, so that people like me could see. So a little later, 12:45. So we have an hour. You are welcome to go. I know perhaps we have some parents. 12:45 to go and visit some of the cabins, the cottage. I want to see that cottage. I hope those rooms are clean. I want to see. And Nonantum is open. Oh, there we go. That's for the brave, okay? For the brave. If you don't know where Nonantum is, you ask. It's way up that way, okay? But it's open. Thank you, Brother George. So you are welcome to go and join us. 12:45, the dinner bell will ring, so please be there with us. If you are on the grounds at 4 o'clock in the lodge, we have a time of prayer. You are certainly welcome to come and join us. And then tonight, our evening service, where we're going to talk about the price. What was that price that Jesus paid? What did he actually experience for us when he paid the penalty for our sin? The book of Revelation and other places tell us exactly what he suffered. Something. It's hard to wrap your mind around, but it's thrilling when we see. That's tonight in the lodge at 7:30. I know the boys, you'll have your service here. You guys have a great time. All right? You enjoy. I know God's going to continue to meet you. All right? So let's sing. Let's sing. Page 240, Victory in Jesus. All together. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Second verse. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is through him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Let's, few of us that are left, let's stand in closing, shall we, if you're able. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In closing, as our benediction, let's recite, if you know it, that verse from 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter, when because of Jesus' resurrection, the Apostle Paul says, and we can all say with him, but thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Walk in that victory today. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love you.
2000.